From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudet. The editor-in-chief of Crime Reads, Dwyer Murphy, is debuting a new novel, and it is a gripping crime fiction. It's titled An Honest Living. Dwyer is joining us today to talk more about this. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me. I love talking about crime fiction and noir. That's what I do all day, and it's my passion. So it's a treat to get on and speak with you about it.
Well, I love a good crime novel. So and true crime too. So I you're speaking my language right now. So with that said, for folks who aren't familiar with Crime Reads, tell us about that.
It's a website that essentially acts as a daily culture magazine that kind of follows everything that's going on in the world of crime fiction, whether that's books, television, podcasts. We sort of take it as a culture, and we report from the trenches, and we have writers with new books coming out who are always writing new features for us and interviews and reading lists. And if you're interested in mysteries, thrillers, crime fiction, true crime, any of that, then we are a destination, hopefully, for you to find out what's new and what's good.
Finding all your people, right? So give us a quick synopsis of your book, An Honest Living, because this is your first novel.
Yeah, this is my first novel, and it's a story that sort of strips away some of my own background. I was a lawyer in New York for a long time and left that line to kind of pursue something a little bit more mysterious. And my novel, it's a lawyer who's a bit of a washout from a big Manhattan firm and decides he's going to make a go of it on his own and try to make ends meet, piecing together neighborhood jobs. And he kind of becomes a private eye type figure. I've always loved that tradition of the private eye noir, but I wanted to update that to a sort of version of Brooklyn and New York that I knew in the early to mid 2000s when things were still sort of living an analog life. You had to go out to the news kiosk to find out what movies were playing, and you ran into friends on the street all the time, and a new mystery could kind of present itself on your doorstep every day. So in this case, the lawyer is brought into an antiquarian book, a rare book's mystery, and he kind of begins to discover that his life resembles an old noir movie, and then lives that out with a few other adventures along the way.
And I think also one of the things that is beautiful about your book is New York City is kind of a character in the book itself.
And
talk about that and why you wanted to make the city a big part of the story.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I really conceived of this as a detective novel where, yes, there is a person who goes missing and, you know, people who are presumed dead, but really what the character is looking for is a version of a vanishing city, and that looking for all the little used bookshops and movie houses and bars and restaurants that are always disappearing from one week to the next. And you go out walking in New York City or a city like this, it doesn't have to be just New York, but week to week, everything is changing and things disappear. And sometimes it happens without any explanation and you don't know what's going on. So I lived in New York, and still in my early 20s, I was here. I was practicing law, but also spent most of my time wandering around to different bookshops and movie houses to go see old repertories. It was a New York that still exists to some degree. There's a lot of great bookshops in New York City, but the culture of used books, I think, has maybe disappeared a little bit, and having that a part of your life that you could spend all day long going around to used bookshops and movie theaters, that maybe doesn't exist anymore. And there was just a certain version of the city that I wanted to capture. And for me, it was all tangled up in being in my late 20s and figuring out what I wanted to do next with my life. Did I want to be a lawyer forever? Or did I want to make a go of writing books? And fortunately, I was able to make that leap. But, you know, there were precarious moments along the way, and I wanted to capture all of that in a detective novel.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I spent time in my mid-20s in New York City. My oldest sister lived there for about a decade. And I spent some time back there visiting, but also living there for a little while. And right around the time that this book was that you set this book in. And there is something, I think, about New York City where even if you don't have a lot of money. It's a magical city in the sense of just walking around and seeing things. And you're right that some things disappear and you don't know why that business closed. And, you know, then the next day something pops up. And I think you capture that really well in the novel. And in a way, I think so many of us, right, we go through exactly what you just described in that time of our lives, right? Is this what I want to do? Should I be pursuing this? Should I do something else? And I think to set it in a city that kind of ebbs and flows like that, I found to be really, really interesting.
Thank you. It is that strange time in your life, and it doesn't have to be New York. It can happen anywhere, but
exactly.
You're open to these new possibilities, and you could be out at your neighborhood bar having a drink on a Tuesday night, and your life could change courses completely. You could meet somebody new. You could meet a partner, somebody who's going to push you in a new direction in life, or you could just get dragged along for a mystery. That was the kind of detective novel I wanted to write. A lot of what I was writing about, I was inspired by originally. There were these old cabaret laws in New York City that outlawed dancing all over town in bars and restaurants. You weren't allowed to dance back then. And it was kind of an archaic law that was barely on the books still, but it was there and present. And I always liked the idea that I was always dancing in places. That was my favorite thing to do, is go out to some place where you weren't supposed to dance and do a little dancing. And it was an act of a small transgression, a little rebellion. But in New York, you could be out at these places and your entire life could change if you were open to it. That was the type of mystery I wanted to write about.
So talking about your entire life changing, you've mentioned that you were an attorney in a former life, and now you're the editor-in-chief at Crime Reads. What made you decide to switch gears and give up the law for writing crime fiction? And I guess I should ask what kind of lawyer you were, because there can be a lot of crime in law. I mean, if you are like a criminal defense attorney or something like that.
I was a corporate litigator, and I got exposure to a very interesting part of New York. This was mostly pre-2008 recession, and then a bit afterwards too, I guess. But it was an opulent, moneyed, strange atmosphere in New York to be in your mid-20s, to kind of get called into these boardrooms and private clubs to be dealing with corporate executives in their moments of crisis. It was not something I necessarily enjoyed or envisioned my life going, but it did give me a very kind of privileged glimpse into the dark heart of New York City in my life when I was ready to absorb it. But I always wanted to write. I'd always loved books and literature, and I knew that if I could find the inspiration and the strength to make that jump, I would. And actually, my wife came, the woman who would later become my wife came along and inspired me to make that leap. And we left our law firm practice together and moved off to Paris and lived that version of a cliche artistic life for a little while, and then came back to New York years later. And we've gotten to live out our dreams together. So it's been a really special journey. And then I was not quite sure I was going to actually become a writer. And then my wife got pregnant, and that put a bit of a deadline on it. I thought, I got to write a novel before my kid comes, or I don't know that I ever will. Unfortunately, that pressure cooker of the 9 months really got the book completed.
Yeah. So I'm curious about being the editor-in-chief, you review hundreds of mysteries and thrillers as the editor. How did that inform your writing of a novel?
Well, it's true. Yeah, I have this sort of really lucky day job where I get to read crime fiction, mysteries, and thrillers all day long and debate and discuss them with other people who are obsessed with these kinds of books and enjoy this stuff. It's really lucky. And it adds a lot of pressure when you decide you want to try to write your own novel. On the one hand, there's all this inspiration, because I think that crime fiction is enjoying, a real golden era right now. There are all these people who are bringing exciting perspectives to it. And that's wonderful and inspiring. And then it also, it adds quite a bit of pressure to the experience, because you want to live up to that example and you want to join in that really vibrant community of perspectives and experiences and stories, and you want to put your own stamp on it. So yeah, it was both invigorating, inspiring, and also pretty terrifying to do.
I love that you said how crime and crime fiction, and whether it's, you know, true crime, but the whole genre is having this golden age, you know, once again. I remember growing up, and I would read Anne Rule novel, true crime novels, and I'm talking like I was like, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. And I swear, I think people thought there was something wrong with me because, you know, right? What? And I've been obsessed with it since I was a kid. And now it's, you know, I'm like, I can come out of the shadows. I mean, you can talk about it again, right? And I love that because it's, I don't know, there's something about this genre that, yeah, it's just, it's gripping. It is, it's just, I love it. I'm fascinated with it. I mean, what is it, do you think, that drew you to this genre?
I like communities of people who are obsessed with things, and I guess mysteries and crimes, they naturally draw us in, and you get to feel that sense of a community with the other people who are really interested in these things. And, you know, sometimes you're concerning yourself with the most horrible moments in another person's life, and you have to remember that and be sensitive to it. But there is undeniably something thrilling to being part of a crime solving or mystery solving community, whether that's a fictional or a real life crime. I don't know, it's something about our nature. We're drawn to that. Of course, you know, it's always been the most popular form of writing mystery in a way. It depends on how you define that genre and consider what those types of stories are. But as far back as there's been printed material, people have wanted to read about crime and mystery, and they want to find something about themselves in those stories too.
Yeah. Well, I have to say it was a great read, and congratulations on doing this. I mean, writing a novel is something so many people think about, and you did it. And it was, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to get to talk with, you know, a fellow crime enthusiast.
I know, we can finally come out of the shadows. As I said, we've been talking with Dwyer Murphy. His debut novel, titled An Honest Living, is out now.